There's a come on over, baby, and a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah, we ain't faking, the whole lot of shaking going on. This is Attention Please, in which each Monday at this time, we draw your attention to some of the enriching opportunities, events, services, and organizations on this amazing peninsula we call home. I'm Larry Stein, your host for this week. Early this year, in January, two important arts organizations in Port Townsend joined together, Port Townsend School of the Arts in Fort Worden and Northwind Arts Center on Water Street have merged to become Northwind Art. They offer education, exhibition, and artist resources and services to our community. This reorganization happened in the context of the pandemic that hit us just 1 year ago this month. I spoke to Teresa Ferrez, the executive director, and Michael D'Alessandro, the exhibits director of Northwind Art. First, we'll hear from Teresa Ferrez.
We shut our doors, both Northwind Art Center and PTSA, shut our doors on March 15th, and there were some really direct decisions made about keeping the organizations afloat, keeping staff in place, and figuring out how to kind of do the new world. And so we started really focusing on online classes for PTSA. Northwind Art Center was in a little different position, just with exhibits being really at the core of what they do and being closed. Mm-hmm. But that's when the conversation started to kind of bubble up, because I think together, both organizations really realized that what's truly at the heart of our community and arts and culture here are our artists. We were kind of watching the pandemic panic unfold, but also the artist struggles really unfold. Mm-hmm. So while Port Townsend School did education really well, and Northwind Arts Center did exhibits really well, we also started to realize that there was a need for artist support unlike any other time. And that
really wasn't built into either one of your organizations at that point.
We were dabbling in it, like we were doing it, and we are supporting artists in different ways, but it wasn't as focused as it's going to be now. And so together, we really felt like we would have the capacity to build this organization with three pillars, this vision of exhibit, education, and artist support. So we are really getting geared up. We're investing heavily in equipment and website.
If you go to the new website, which is simply Northwind Art without an S at the end.
That's correct.
Northwind Art. And yeah, it's pretty clear on the website. You stated very clearly that those are the three legs of the tripod that you're trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael, what was the beginnings of the close down that you had to do during the crisis of the pandemic as it arose? How did that work for your center?
A year ago, we were all in the same boat. We closed at the same time that the School of the Arts did, like Teresa said. I was also on the board of the School of the Arts at that time. So we were trading information back and forth, like, are you letting four people in or eight people in, you know? And our galleries were creating closure hours and closely monitoring the caseloads in the community and setting policy for our new way of operating.
Great.
And this is more towards summer when we started reopening once again. Throughout that time, we decided, select few of us on the boards, and Teresa and I were just talking at that point about merging. And then how are we going to move forward with both of these organizations in this new environment? Yeah. So the idea of merging was kind of a dream idea, just like, hey, this would be a great combined organization, wouldn't it? And then all of a sudden it became, well, can we do it?
It's one of those ideas born out of crisis, really, and out of necessity. And pretty clearly, I can see looking at it now that there's got to be a benefit to both of you as individual organizations joining together, because you did, in a way, had a lot of the same functions going on in both of your organizations. So your fundraising and your identity and your website, it really makes sense, you know, looking at it from the outside now, to have you be together.
And I do want to say that both of our board presidents at the time were extremely excited and championing this idea. So it really made it a win-win for both staff and board to dive in to the concept. And
So to those of us in the community who are used to going to the exhibits at your galleries and are used to knowing people who take classes or having kids who take classes or taking classes ourselves, how does it going to change for us as the users, as the people who enjoy the services that you supply? Maybe Teresa could answer that.
So right now, we currently have two gorgeous exhibits up since January 1, and we're switching out the Grover Gallery right now. So everybody can continue to count on just really world-class exhibits. The shows are incredible. We are going to extend our exhibit weeks. We're going to do two-month shows pretty consistently, which makes a lot of sense for the artists and for us, for time. Yeah. It'll allow us to kind of focus more energy on the artist support network if we have shows for a longer period of time. So you'll have more of a chance to see things, and we'll have lots of experiences kind of stacked within those weeks. But, you know, safety protocols are really high in the gallery spaces, minimum of 10 people in the best gallery, which is the big gallery on Water Street. That's what we're calling it now, named after Jeanette Best, of course, and the Grover Gallery, named after Sherry and Max Grover. It's a little smaller footprint, so 6 is the max there. So come to the exhibits because they're fantastic, and, mm-hmm. and bring your friends.
It's really a relief now to see these galleries open after so much of the year where it has seemed that everything that we love to experience has been shut down. So
it really is. I mean, I just watching people walk through the doors and seeing the smiles on their faces and being live with art and with others, like just even 6 to 10 feet apart, is just we had it so good. I hope we don't forget. It's so important, our connection, especially in this community.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about education because I think that's been on a lot of people's minds for our faculty and for students.
So the education has gone virtual, basically, has gone online.
It has, and it's been such a cool experience. I mean, definitely steep learning curve, but we're mastering it, and our inventory is growing all the time, and we won't go backwards. Online is something we always wanted to do, and we will continue, but we are feeling cautiously optimistic, more optimistic as the weeks go on, actually, with new news all the time.
That's right.
I think that we'll definitely be doing some kids' summer workshops. They won't be our week-long classes, but we'll have some great kids programs, and then very small in-person classes going forward. So if people go to northwindart.org to classes, they can see all of our new offerings as we go on. And we just hired a new education director, which I was just
reading about her. Yeah. Now tell us about her.
Well, we've had incredible program directors, Julie Johnson and Jen and Diana. We've been really lucky with programs and education leadership. But, you know, this whole online opportunity, it's really shown the light on exactly who we need. And Shin Yi Pai was recruited, 2-month process, great applicants, really, really competitive position. But Shin Yi comes to us with a deep background as a digital native and online programming. She's an artist herself. She has a young family that she'll be bringing here, 7-year-old son, to add to our wonderful community. Her partner is an acupuncturist. They're just so excited to be here. And she actually has been an artist in residency with Centrum and she's been a part of the literary programs with Northwind Art Center. So she can't wait to get here. We're so excited. And well, I feel like she's going to be like rocket fuel. Like we're ready to go with Shin Yi.
Great. Yeah. So she's going to be basically in the building on the Fort Worden campus, which has always been your classroom building. Is that the hub for your online education program too?
That's a good question. It'll be the hub for our in-person classes. Our plan right now, I've mentioned the investment in technology. We're going to be creating a Zoom room for teachers and have the equipment all ready to go. And that'll actually probably be in our downtown space. So both the Best Gallery and Fort Worden will have online aspects. Mm-hmm. But we love those classrooms at the Fort, and especially with Maker Square coming online.
Oh, yeah.
We want to be right there.
Yeah, we'll be your neighbors. We love it. I just love the ability to just walk across the road, and there you are.
I know.
So, the possibilities are really wonderful. And I don't want to lose, you know, of course, we're all learning how to do things virtually now. We're all doing so much online, and we all question is in-person ever going to come back? And there's no substitute for in-person, especially in an art discipline. I once did an interview with Jesse Watson when he was teaching a class, a drawing class, and it was wonderful to observe and sort of hang in and eavesdrop on. I mean, those kids were having a great time, and his in-person ability to work with them, that can't be replaced online.
That is really, really true. And we have found out what works, what translates with online programming, like our lecture series and so on. They really are very successful, actually. And you're right. But I will say this is the first year that we've had access to international students. No footprint, no airfare. It's easy and they pop right on. So we've had London, we've had Australia this year. We've had a Japanese student and folks Wonderful. With disabilities and just who.
Yeah. Did this just come to you or did you go out looking for this or people who got wind of what you were doing?
They found us. We have really good marketing.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific to expand the reach so much farther. And it's great.
I would agree though, Larry, I feel like all the in-person stuff is kind of like, you know, it's the cake. It's all the yummy ingredients and I can't wait for it to flip where it's the icing.
Well, also, we're all learning that we're going to develop some kind of hybrid between the two. I mean, I can see them doing a live class, but having someone joining them from another country, and that adds something to it right there.
That's why I love working with my team, you know, with Michael and Meg Kazik and both of our boards and Ken Hulick and Jay and Toby Warren. Our team is so incredible, and we really are thinking innovatively. And for almost... I would really say like probably, you know, 75% of the time. There are some times, you know, we all kind of go in the tank a little bit, but about 75 to 85% of the time, we've all been and felt very optimistic. And like, these are moments of opportunity, vast opportunity.
So the merge means then you have one larger board rather than two independent boards.
Yeah. And it's not even larger. We've got room for 15. So we actually are looking for new board members for this incredible board.
So Michael, how does it from the exhibition side? I mean, we've known you, of course, coming in to see your exhibitions, and it's been such a great series. Are you seeing a online component to the exhibition part of it also?
Yeah, one of the things that the pandemic has handed us really is the ability to put our exhibits online. We didn't really explore that before because we never really had to. It was always open the doors, we get the traffic come in, the show was up for 30 days, it came down, we put another one. And we were on that track for so long, for, you know, yeah. years. So coming into this pandemic, we started with the doors closed, we put the exhibits up, and then we filmed them and put them online so that could walk through with a voiceover from the artist or the curator or music or something to kind of engage people. And then we brought the artist talks online as well.
Wow.
And the juror talk. We put our juried exhibits calls out on a larger, wider network to the entire nation. And on our December exhibit of small works, we had at least 30% of those folks that got in the exhibit were from the East Coast. So we went nationwide overnight, you know, and it was exciting. Yeah. It was exciting. And it was also like, well, we kept asking, is this part of our mission? But then you look at the pandemic and wanting to, you know, invigorate art in our community. And it was exciting to see for artists to come in and see artwork from people they've never heard of and be inspired by new techniques.
What's going to happen with the other programs like the poetry reading series and the music series that we would come to the gallery to see?
We because of this merger creating such a focus on visual 2D, 3D art and art education, we needed to kind of put our heads down and really focus on that. However, you know, as soon as we open up our doors again, we are allowing these programs that we had at Northwind Art Center that brought in people, you know, the Northwind Songs and the Northwind Reading Seat, to name a few. We're allowing them to use that space when we're able to gather it again. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we've kept the Northwind Reading Series going, at least through volunteerism from three wonderful hosts that took it from Bill Mawinney last year, or actually at the beginning of last year. And they have kept the series going on a monthly basis via Zoom.
Via Zoom, wow.
Yeah, and we're giving them technical support and some, you know, obviously putting those readings on our website.
That reminds me of what Centrum's really doing. That's how Centrum has had to adapt, and they're trying, and as they start on this slow kind of crawl back to the normalcy, the normal is going to be different now, because they are now going to be having ability to contact people who can't make it to Centrum, but yet can still contribute to a workshop.
Exactly. And we really want to just usher those programs through partnerships. And,
yeah.
You know, we thought about it and said, you know, music and performance art and literary arts, they're so vibrant in this community, and they can mm-hmm. stand on their own, really,
mm-hmm.
with our support. We didn't necessarily have to own those programs. Still bear our names, and that our name, mm-hmm. since we kept our name
mm-hmm.
relatively intact. So that's a good way to usher this forward with partnerships.
Yeah. Teresa, you were starting to say something.
I kind of envision Northwind Art being kind of the hub for the arts, and you know, particularly right now, our focus being the 2D and 3D art, but being a hub, like Centrum is a hub, I think we're all just looking for that connectivity. Mm-hmm. And this merger has really allowed us the opportunity to see how we together bring the most value. And it doesn't always mean that it has to live with us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, let's find our friends, let's find our family, let's find our partners, let's expand our resources and our capacity. I really see mm-hmm. all of Jefferson County and arts and culture being one. And connecting it is what we get to do.
That's a perfect cap, because we have to end now. So that's perfect. Teresa Veras, the executive director of Northwind Art, singular, Northwind Art, and Michael D'Alessandro, the exhibits director of Northwind Art, will still be able to experience your organizations. And it sounds like it'll be a richer mix, actually. This merger offers a lot of possibilities.
It really does. Come see us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry.
I spoke to Teresa Veras, executive director, and Michael D'Alessandro, exhibits director of Northwind Art. This has been Attention Please on KPTZ Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. Thanks for listening. Shake, baby, shake, oh, shake, baby, shake, bop, bop, we ain't fake.